Howdy, y'all. Title for today's short message is I Got Your Back, Man. Please be turning to 1 John 4:18. I'm going to read something to you. It's an op-ed from the Washington Post. Fear sells. It's our job not to give into it. The op-ed is by David Von Drehl. It was published October 5th, 2021, Eastern Time. Here's what he says. It is fashionable to say that the United States is at a low point and that the rest of the world is going to blazes too. We are more divided, more demoralized, more deceived than ever before. Our problems are too large for our leaders who are too small for their jobs. And there's some truth in that. We've become divided. We fear. Fear sells. Here's what he says. This is why courage has been revered throughout history as a cardinal human virtue. Courage has many facets, but each reflects an individual's choice to be the best person possible in even the worst of times. Now listen to what he says. Courage is not the antithesis of fear, for it would have no meaning in the absence of fear. Rather, courage acknowledges fear but refuses to be mastered by it. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is Christ, of course, because fear involves torment. For he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We think of torment as we torment ourselves because we're sinners, because we're afraid. But actually what it translates in the modern English is punishment from God. Because he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We think we're afraid. We think that God will not be with us because we are such sinners and some ideas like that. And that is all true. God's going to punish us, you know. We aren't good enough. But that's not what God the Father sees, is it? That's not what's going on here. Perfect love means that we are in a state of forgiveness. And as long as we are with God, God the Father only sees Christ's children. If we're repentant. You know, 1 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. The United States is in a spirit of fear. And in some respects, so is the whole world. You know, Sam Sweat reads the scripture all the time. He did it recently even. And I'm going to read part of it again. And I think it speaks to the heart of today and what we are. It's Romans 8:38. You don't need to turn there because as soon as I start reading, you're all going to go, yeah, I've heard it 100 times. That's my message today. It's a simple message, but it has a point. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, the only way you're going to be separated from God is if you turn your back and walk away from him. Because if you are in Christ, he will never do that to us. Ever. Now, what differentiates our fear now from World War II, from the Cold War of the 50s and 60s, is the unbelievable degradation of morality in this country in the last 50 years, and particularly in the last 10 years. The changes have been staggering. I don't need to enumerate them. You know that this country has fundamentally changed. Since I was a boy, I'm 59, this country has fundamentally changed. People will argue that it's always been this way, that it's just hidden away. Now, this is true, but with a difference. And that's all cultures. What has undeniably changed is that the reason it was hidden, and by all indications small, is that it was unacceptable behavior. I speak of many things immoral. Not just one issue, but many issues. Now they are not only accepted, they are praised, and they are legally protected. Second thing I want you to think about. Biblical scholars have estimated or determined that Christ was crucified somewhere between 31 and 34 AD, meaning there's been nearly 2,000 years, which suggests the time of mankind is nearly at an end. We can debate that, but it seems reasonable. That does not make it entirely correct, or even in God the Father's timeline, because God the Father says no one knows but him. So I certainly don't know. However, these two ideas together, along with other factors, such as Jerusalem is now the capital of the state of Israel. The seat of Satan is possibly going to be returned to Turkey. If you don't know what that is, look it up. The power of China, Russia, and the Islamic Revolution lead me to believe, one, my opinion. Two, my opinion. And once more, in case you didn't hear me for clarity, my opinion, that we're near the end of the age. Hence, the events that we now see are being stirred up by agents who seek to overthrow, destroy, control, etc. The question is, who are these agents? Are they men? Yes. Are they more? Please turn to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. In the New King James Version, I'll be reading. Joshua 1. Here we are at the end of the children of Israel's long trek out of Egypt, out of the desert of sin, which I feel is like the way my life has been, that I've been in a long trek through the desert of sin and I'm coming near the end of it. In my opinion, that's where I stand. Whether or not I'm correct really makes no difference for this message, just my opinion. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke, that's God speaking to Joshua, Joshua the son of Nun. Moses is saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and his people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And we can read on and on and on, and he talks about it. But down in verse 5, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. The Bible speaks to us in this age, too. Those words are just spoken to you. I was with Moses, so I will be with you also. I will not leave or forsake you, only be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to the fathers to give to them. In this case, it would be the United States of America, and I truly believe that. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, as you read it now. But you shall meditate on it day and night. You shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. It's a blessing. It's a promise. It's where true courage comes from. It's he who went in front. It's he who went back. It's he who went to the sides through the Red Sea. The Lord is saying, I got your back. So we all struggle with fears, inequities, hurts. True courage comes from God. Some people are courageous, some people are not. Not a judgment. If you need something, God has our back. You can go to him. If you know that somebody needs something, and you go to God and you go to them, you have their back. In this age of fear, and there are things coming, I believe, to this country that will be fearful, you will need courage, and only courage comes from God. Deuteronomy 31 in the New King James Version again. Now we're going to go back to where Moses was still alive before Joshua took over, where God said, I have your back. Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to a land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers and give to them. You shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is one who goes before you. What is Moses saying to Joshua? He will not leave nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. What is Moses saying to Joshua? I got your back, man. I got your back. Ephesians 6:10 through 12, and I'll just read it to you. Ephesians 6:10. Was there more to what's happening? Was there more? Is there more to what's going on? Dissension? Finally, my brethren, be strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, we have the armor of God if we choose, if we do as we are taught. But my countrymen out here, my countrymen, they don't have the armor of God and they're being victimized. Is it any wonder that they're afraid? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes, there are men that are doing this. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. All of the stuff we see around us, we're discussing these articles, it creates a culture of suspicion and fear. Who's the author of that? Yes, these ages are spreading fear and in truth causing destruction and death, the fall of society. Yeah, I understand that we're afraid. I understand that morality in this country has become nothing more than whatever you want it to be. I understand that the imperial power of the country is literally, when you watch TV, crumbling before you. I understand that there's fear in that fear that people will come here and destroy us. Who's the author of that? You know, we say we are brothers with Christ. Don't you think in eons past that Satan was doing the same thing to God's angels that he's doing to this country right now? That he was whispering suspicion and fear into them? Don't be a part of that. He's called the accuser of the brethren, and Christ is our brother. So it stands to reason that the tactic is in the same, it's in play the same way. Here in our own congregation, we have brothers and sisters who sadly are not here anymore or may not be here. You know, just before I gave this message a few weeks ago in Fort Worth, I listened the night before to Gary Petty. And if you want to hear the truth in a way you haven't heard it before about illness, go seek out that message because you have not heard it that way before. It came from questions that somebody in the church sent to him. I quote him now. When we left the Garden of Eden, we entered corruption. So it's not all about sin, folks. This is the way it is. It's not always about sin. Yes, God promises to heal. And I pray. I pray for Melissa. And I pray for Ralph. And I pray for others. But things happen. We are in a wilderness of sin. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, first we must love God, and second is that we must love one another as we love ourselves. So God says, I have your back. So we must say to one another too, each one of us, I got your back. We must be assured that Christ has our back, and he does, and we must be assured that we have one another's back too. Because what's coming is going to take all of our strength together, along with God, to make it.